The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Today's show, we are live in studio, here to take your calls at 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. Got a beautiful Saturday morning going on in Northern Colorado, but we hope if you're listening, you'll take the time to give us a ring and ask us any of your retirement-related questions. We'll have questions on 401ks, IRAs, pensions, about anything you can imagine, any question that you've got for your finances and retirement. My name is Chris Stein. Welcome to today's show. I'm here in studio with Jim Saulnier, as normal.
Good morning, Chris.
Well, he's not normal, but as we're normally in the studio together. That's it. Just us two. No special guests.
No Pete.
Pete was here last time. I was not here, right? Wasn't that the last live show you guys did?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I've been gone for a while.
You have.
Well, I'm back now. So,
yeah, Pete stood in. Was it last week, right?
No, 2 weeks ago. Last week was recorded.
It was?
Yeah.
What did we talk about?
I have no idea, but it was recorded. It was Memorial Day weekend last week.
Oh, that's right. So Pete and I were live 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we had the Memorial Day show. That's right.
Which you and I recorded.
We did.
We did a fresh show. We don't always do a show. A brand new show for holiday weekends, but we had the time to do it, and
I do want to apologize once again.
Already?
Not to our listeners. Well, actually, to our listeners, but not to our live listeners today. To our iTunians. Because we have not.
Well, they're not going to hear us.
No. By the time they hear this apology, it'll be too late.
The problem will be fixed.
iTunes has not been updated in, I think, 3 or more weeks with our shows. And it's not for lack of any effort on our behalf. What we have to do, we've said this repeatedly, because we are actually people who do this for a living, we're not. We're not advisors like what's that woman's name there? What's her name?
You Go Girl woman. You Go Girl.
Yeah, she always says that on her show.
I don't know.
Susie Orman. We're not like Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey and Howard Clark and all those. They don't actually meet with clients and give real advice. They just give generic advice over the radio. So they don't have to jump through all the compliance hurdles that real financial planners such as myself has to jump through.
Yeah, but we you have to understand why they do it that way. They'd be constrained by what they could say if they actually met with clients.
Oh, exactly.
That's why.
So by not meeting with clients,
exactly,
they can pretty much say anything they want.
Exactly.
And so it's a wonderful business model if you have a national radio show.
Yes.
Not one broadcast out of Greeley, Colorado on a Saturday morning.
Wow.
So we could not make a living off of the ad dollars from this show. Let's just put it that way. Whereas if we
We're still waiting for the first ad dollar to come in. Yeah. So in year 8 of the radio show.
So if we had a national syndication, sure, we could quit our day jobs. And then our shows could appear right away because the government says,
and we
well,
can say all kinds of
exactly,
crazy
as long as you're not collecting money from people, you can pretty much say what you want. Yeah. But because I have an actual financial planning practice, we have to watch what we say. Well, the easiest way to watch what we say is to use the services of a compliance official who will listen to what we're saying and make sure what we're saying would pass muster. And therein lies the rub. They have taken forever for some odd reason. And I know they're listening to this show now. You guys are doing a great job, but speed it up a little. And
well, I think they've just gotten a little bogged down.
They have
gotten
bogged down.
Personnel changes.
Personnel changes. Mm-hmm. And I know some are out on maternity leave and vacation probably with the summer. So for 3 weeks, they haven't approved anything. It's just they apologized to Julia. Julia's the woman who puts everything on the net for us. She works, been working for us, goodness, for a while now. And they apologized to her, and which in a roundabout way is apologizing to me. And they hope to get everything up and running and approved. But that's why nothing has been posted on iTunes. And it stinks because we have a good following on iTunes. And I'm afraid the longer it takes to keep updating shows, people are going to go listen to someone else because they're going to think, okay, these guys aren't doing it anymore. But that's the issue we're running into. I'm hoping these compliance officials can work through this and address this a little quicker. But it does slow us up, and it then ruins the flow of the show because some of the things I may talk about today, if we don't get any callers, tie into our QLAC Part 3 show, which still hasn't even been posted yet. And the funny thing is, I know you joked with me lightheartedly, but probably with a degree of seriousness to it, when I told you we're going to do QLAC Part 3. But as luck would have it, and that was a pre-recorded show, as you know, shortly after recording that show, I received an email from someone who had listened to QLAC Part 2. And he put in the email, you really need to do a Part 3. You need to give us real examples. And that's what QLAC Part 3 show was, real examples. So I wrote back to him. I said, we just recorded that. It should be on the radio show, on the iTunes. He was from iTunian. Mm-hmm. It should be on iTunes within another week. And that was 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
So we probably lost him as a listener.
Maybe so.
So anyways, I do want to put that out there to our iTunians who happen to be listening to this show. Sometimes they don't appear quite as fast as I want. It has nothing to do with Chris and I. We record these shows in our office, and when we're live, KFKA records them for us. We get them immediately. We edit them, pass them to Julia. Julia sends them to compliance, and then they hit the great black hole, kind of like that molasses melee in Boston that we talked about once. Remember that?
I do remember that.
And I got a book on that, by the way.
There's a whole book on it?
A whole book. I'm going to have to, well, keep talking. But
I wasn't talking in the first place.
I mean, keep talking. I meant to tell you. I was going to send this to you. It was a Kindle. Well, it's a real book, but I bought it on my Kindle.
Yeah.
And it's all about the molasses melee.
Well, I'm more interested in the cleanup of that. For those of you who don't remember or don't know or didn't maybe haven't listened to the show or follow Boston local history – there was a disaster early 1900s, isn't that
yes,
what it
was? Yes, the book is called Dark Tide, The Great Boston Molasses Flood of 1919.
1919, yep. It was a bad year for Boston, apparently, especially if you diabetic, walking around in molasses. It'd be one of the worst things ever.
So I'm sure in the book they will explain how they cleaned it all up.
Well, I would like to know that.
I haven't
so why don't
read
you read
yet.
That book
this is
and then
the,
let me
the
know.
The thing that burst. That's the cover.
Wow. That looks very small. How could that cause a
– well, apparently they were saying that molasses back then was kind of like the whale oil of its day. You know, whale oil used to make everything in the 1800s. They made a lot of stuff out of molasses, not just rum. and they made a lot of ammunition and things like that, and World War I was just winding down. And I don't know, they explained why they had an outrageous amount of molasses stored in one rickety little tank.
Hmm. Well, you read it up. Read it. Give me the synopsis. Right?
I won't read it right now. But when I saw it, I had to buy it. It was on sale. Fair and nice. I thought, oh, I got to get this because Chris didn't know about the Great Molasses Flood.
Before you brought it up, I had not heard of the Great Molasses Flood of 1919.
Well, you didn't grow up in Boston.
True. But that seems like that seems like national news at the time.
At the time, I'm sure it was. Yeah. But nearly 100 years later, only if you grew up in Boston did you know that there was a Great Molasses Flood.
Well, it's probably still sticky in parts of Boston at this point.
Probably. Okay. So we are live today.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to encourage local listeners. Chris was opining recently that we would cut down our number of live shows if we don't get callers, which made sense.
Right. The whole reason we drive over here on Saturday morning, it was a nice drive.
It was.
Fort Collins, only about 40 minutes for me, but about I'd rather not do it on a Saturday morning if people aren't going to call. So
correct.
We'll just monitor the situation.
And so Chris was opining lately that maybe we should just do recorded shows and go live once a month and give away the pie once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if people do like the live shows, Chris is now keeping tally. And he does have a wife, 6 kids, 4 dogs, 18 chickens, and who knows what else you have, right?
Yeah, I'm down to 3 chickens.
3 chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It only started at 6, but my herd is down to 3.
It's called a flock.
Okay. Whatever.
It's getting lower.
It's getting lower.
But Chris is a very busy man, and his point was if people aren't going to call, maybe they don't really care for live shows. I enjoy doing live shows, so I would personally love to keep doing them. If I had my choice, we'd go live every week, but not if we didn't get calls. If we don't get calls, live shows are pretty boring.
True. So the number, if you want to call, 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. That toll-free number is handy if you're calling, if you happen to be streaming the show, which we do live stream the show on Saturday mornings between 8 and 10 Mountain Time when we are here. But still no phone call. So we're going to have to resort to Jim's topic of the week. So I'm sure you always bring back a bag of stuff. You know, what we haven't talked a whole lot about is what happened with what juicy tidbits you brought back from the Ed Slott program.
And that's what I was going to get into today. One
Perfect.
Of the things.
Just like I'm reading
calls.
Your mind.
You did. I was having my headphones adjusted. That's why I wasn't paying attention.
That's
did,
okay.
Did you say anything important?
No.
Okay.
I was just vamping until you were ready to speak again about Ed Slott.
And you gave away our number.
I did. Both styles.
Both numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So if anybody out there in Northern California...
Oh, you know what? I forgot. Sorry to interrupt.
What?
Email. You can also email
yes,
us live during the show.
You may.
Jim's got his rickety old iPad.
It's not rickety old. This is the latest version from last year.
Okay, rickety old then, if it's a year old already. Jim@jimhelps.com. That's Jim@jimhelps.com. And we'll get that pretty much instantaneously, although... To be honest, our email service that we use is a little slow, probably about a minute delay.
That's okay. We can wait.
We can wait. So if you don't want to call in, you can email us, and we'll talk about your issue or topic or question or whatever it might be.
Right. Jim@jimhelps.com. So you can write out your question as an email. That will help protect your privacy. We know not everybody likes to call a live show. And odd, we haven't had – usually we get a lot of emails. This was an email-less week. So
Completely.
Well, I mean, I got other emails, but not radio show listeners saying, hey, can you talk about this?
Well, maybe
radio?
It isn't just the live shows people have stopped listening to. They just don't listen at all.
Well, don't forget, we haven't had anything new on iTunes for 3 weeks. So our emails have been drying up because people aren't listening.
I get it.
So that's why, again, I'm hoping the compliance people can get this ironed out and we can get these shows approved a lot quicker. So we did not get any emails to talk about, and we'll see if we get any calls. But we are here to answer your questions. That's why we do it. I personally love public speaking. I love doing the radio show. I love answering questions and helping people. And it really makes live shows fun if people call with a retirement an investment or Social Security related question.
If not, I'm excited to hear about what you found out from the Ed Slott program, this latest version, which was, a month ago that you went, roughly?
I don't even think it was a month ago. Was it
3 weeks
ago?
Or so? Yeah, so this is fresh.
It's about
new material.
3 weeks, because I went the week before I went live with Pete, and we went live 2 weeks ago, so about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so for people don't know, Ed Slott is considered to be one of the foremost experts on IRAs and the pitfalls of navigating the rules regarding IRAs. So Jim is part of a program where he visits with Ed and fellow retirement planners to be educated on all things IRA, and he always brings back juicy new little tidbits from these.
We do. They started a new. They're kind of the program is evolving. I've been in this program now, goodness, 7 or 8 years, almost as long as we've been doing the radio show. And Ed's program is evolving, and he has a lot of helpers now. I'd say a lot. There's three. There's Bev, Sarah, and Jeff. And they do a lot of the actual research, I believe, and writing that Ed posts. And because they predominantly teach us about retirement plans, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, and all the rules associated with them, it's natural that they expand and start covering wider retirement-related topics. Hmm. So as a dedicated retirement planner, I'm intrigued by that. And they started a new segment that they're going to review with us every 6 months, and they call it From Around the World of Retirement Planning. And I thought, oh, that's appropriate. Hmm. And really also what they're doing is sharing some of the new studies and findings that they're coming across as they do their research with IRAs and retirement plans. A lot of researchers reach out to them for information on how do you do this with an IRA or that, and they're coming across a lot more information. So they covered five topics with us. We're not going to go all topics because two of them would require Pete. They are more estate and asset protection related. Mm-hmm. But there are two, one which you're going to cringe again on QLEX.
Oh, good.
So this would be like part 4.5.
Right.
Or 3.5. It's not quite a dedicated. But they pointed out two interesting factors with QLEX that they recently helped some researchers with. And they point out a few things about spending in retirement, as well as taxation in retirement. So I thought some of these issues, some of these issues we covered and have covered in the past, but I thought it could be an interesting topic for us to cover on our show as well. And I think one of the things, the first one that they covered with us, isn't going to come as a surprise to you. Because it didn't really come as a surprise to me at all, at least early in your retirement. And one of the things that researchers are starting to find out, and again, if in our office, because this is all we've done, goodness, for well over 12 years now, we have seen this. And they write, don't count on spending less in retirement.
Oh, really? What about the whole 80% rule or 75% rule or whatever that has been
that's
taught over and over and over again for the past two or three decades as a way to simplify planning in retirement instead of looking at it in the detailed way that we have? Look at all of your actual expenses, what you're really doing, what your real plans are. They would arbitrarily – it's called goals-based planning. They would say, we're going to create this assumed goal that you need 80% of your current income in retirement to maintain your lifestyle. Well, that's just – I won't call it a random number, but that's a number that only applies to people who plan to spend 80% of what they make now in retirement. What if you – have different plans.
Right. Well, as Ed writes, as he talked about this, he put, prevailing thought often holds that expenses will drop after retirement because certain expenses of yours, such as commuting costs, Social Security taxes, payroll taxes, and actual retirement savings, decrease because of retirement.
Yep. And all those hours you spent at work, you're just going to sit in a chair doing nothing, right?
Well, that's what he
writes. I mean, that's the assumption.
Now he says, recent studies. And I don't know what they mean, recent studies.
I don't know.
Who is doing this?
I don't know.
just recently this has dawned on the industry?
Yeah.
Recent studies, Ed writes, show that on average expenses during the initial years, which is what I said, at least initially, during the initial years of retirement remain largely unchanged from those immediately preceding retirement, if not higher. And then he goes on to say the decrease in those expenses, and those expenses again, because I'm reading out of order here in his paragraph, the decrease in commuting costs, Social Security taxes, payroll taxes, retirement savings. He writes the decreases in those expenses is often offset by increases in other expenses retirees have, such as travel.
Wow. I'm sure glad they did a study to
figure
that out.
I know. I'm glad. Now, again, I'm not picking on Ed. He's just sharing what researchers are sharing with him. If this is coming as a surprise, I wish we had that surprise. Who's that? Goma Pyle.
Yeah.
Soundbite. Because if this is coming as a surprise to researchers.
I'm surprised. They're surprised.
Exactly. I'm surprised
they're
surprised.
Have they never spoken to a retiree?
Surprise.
There we go.
Oh, we do have it. I mean, yeah, Chris and I are joking, but some of the things that I wanted to cover on this is how the researchers wrote initial years of retirement. Mm-hmm. Chris and I cannot take credit for coming up with these terms. I forget what gentleman wrote a book and termed it these, the go-go, slow-go, and no-go years of retirement. Mm-hmm. I love that. I wish I came up with that. But when you first
you came up with iTunian. So
I did. That's just as good.
We can't come up with everything here.
But during the go-go years, the initial years of retirement, that's when you're going to go have fun. Mm-hmm. Face it, people. I mean, I have to be perfectly blunt here, but retirement, as we approach it, and everybody is approaching it, when you enter retirement, it is the last third of our life. And we know that. We know how it ends. We don't get to a point where we get younger, stronger, and healthier, and the whole cycle begins again.
Well, depends on what you believe.
True.
But you guess what? You don't get to take your retirement assets with you when that reset happens.
If you believe in reincarnation, I personally don't.
Maybe we should propose that to Congress. The reincarnation rollover.
Yeah, the reincarnation
rollover. Or the reincarnation stretch IRA.
You can save your assets and use them again when you come back as a pig or whatever.
Right.
But back to reality here, because you got off basis.
I know. I'm feeling kind of frisky this morning.
One of the things I get people to understand, retirement is just a very long vacation. Or, as one recent retiree said to me, she was retired and it was because she was laid off at 62. She said to me, Jim, I don't know if I am retired or unemployed.
Mm. She's in that gray area.
And she said, I'm very nervous about spending my money. Now, it kind of got off track a little from what I'm talking about, but she was what we call forcefully retired or unintentionally retired. She had always wanted to work to 66 to 70, somewhere around there. But for most people who went to retirement on their own terms and not the terms of an employer who laid them off, when you first retire, that's your go-go years. You're not going to sit around all day and eat bonbons and watch reruns and soap operas. You're going to be out there doing things. So you're going to either travel or go visit grandkids or go do something on your bucket list, something that you always wanted to do.
While you're still young enough and healthy enough to do it.
Exactly. While you still have the health and the ability. Because as you age, you will slow down. We talk about this constantly. You will get weaker physically. You will get weaker mentally. And you will get weaker financially. Of those three, only one is truly within your realm. The other two are in the hands of God. But your financial health is in your hands and your hands only. And it is the financial health you can actually do proactive planning on. And if your whole retirement is based on the assumption, your whole projections, your whole, gee, I can retire today because I only need this much money because in retirement I'm only going to spend 70% of what I was spending at the beginning, then you're going to have a pretty boring go-go year or years. And I think that is the big takeaway from this. But the thing that surprised me the most is its recent studies have found this doesn't rocket science. This is common sense that anybody who does retirement planning for a living should know this. And it's up to us to tell people out there, if you're working with an advisor, or if you're working with a website that's doing this for you, or if you're trying to project this on your own, and you're doing that, oh, you only need 60 or 70% of your pre-retirement income. If that's what you're doing, you're fooling yourself. Because in my opinion, even as you start to slow down and you go from your go-go years to your slow-go years and then your no-go years, maybe the travel and the visiting the grandkids and the big expenses have slowed, but chances are your health expenses are rising, your housing expenses are rising, because now as you age, you either have to relocate and downsize or fix your home. You have to what we call elder-proof your home. Maybe redo your stairs or put in a ramp, or more often than not, it's bathrooms that are redone. To have the proper – you don't have to step into a bathtub. You have those bathtubs installed, Chris, with the doors and everything to walk in. All this costs money. So maybe the travel and the fun stuff is slowing down, but other expenses, especially healthcare, are rising. And we see, I know it's anecdotal, we have a small office, but we see in our office with the people we work with, I don't generally see a massive slowdown. We do see some reduction in desired expenses, the things they want to do, but we often see increases in required expenses, the things they have to do. So that's all I have to say.
Well, that was abrupt.
Well, I hit my –
well, I know.
For those who can't see, my headphones came flying off, and it just kind of shocked me into shutting up.
Right. Well, this is a good point here because we're about pretty much due for our bottom of the hour
break.
So why don't we go ahead and take that, and that'll give people time to start dialing their phones in case you have one of those old rotary dials.
Rotary, it's going to take a while.
We got the break time to do this. The number is – 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. If you are a little more modern and want to use your computer, you can email us at jim@jimhelps.com. That's jim@jimhelps.com. We'll get that live here on the show, and we'd be more than happy to answer your question. When we come back from this short break, and this is a fairly short break, we're going to hear a song from 1935, which is 80 years ago, 81 years ago now, actually, the year that Social Security was started. So that's kind of why we're doing this tie-in. But this song back in 1935 was used as inspiration for a 1936 movie entitled The Music Goes Round. That was the name of the movie. So we're going to hear the song from 1935 that inspired the 1936 movie, The Music Goes Round. So thanks for joining us on the Retirement and IRA Show. We'll be back after this short break. Retirement and IRA Show. That is one of the top songs from 1935 that actually inspired the 1936 movie The Music Goes Round. Since I know you don't know this one, Jim, unless you listen to it in the car on the way up here. In 1935, Edward Farley and Mike Riley of the Farley Riley Band combined their talents to create
the
song.
Who?
The Farley Riley Band.
Farley Riley.
Yeah, Edward Farley and Mike Riley.
That's just hard to say in a row, Farley Riley. It is. You try to say that five times real fast.
No.
Not on live radio anyways?
No, not on live radio. Guess what the title of the song is? The Music Goes Round and Round.
Is that a hint or is that the
song?
No,
that's the song title. Oh. The movie was The Music Goes Round, but the song title was much more sophisticated. They put another "and round" on the end. So The Music Goes Round and Round is the name of that song. The lyrics were actually done by Red Hodgson. Do you remember Red?
No,
neither do I. The song was considered a major success in 1935 and was picked up by Tommy Dorsey, we know him, the following year as music to be used in the similarly named movie The Music Goes Round. The movie was a low-budget musical comedy that didn't do too well at the box office. Never heard of it. But the song has gone on to become both a pop and jazz standard, with the most popular versions sung by Ella Fitzgerald, Perry Como, and Danny Kaye all did versions.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So we look at that song because, again, we talk a lot about Social Security topics on the show here, on the Retirement and IRA show. And 1935 was the year that this whole thing we call Social Security started. It was signed into law, I believe, in August of 1935. The good news, Jim, we actually do have a caller.
Wow, a real one?
A real live caller from Greeley. As Adrian typed it, Georgette.
Georgette
is available to us from Greeley. Good morning, Georgette.
I guess I've been called worse.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling. What can we do for you this morning?
I have a Social Security question.
Excellent.
I was at a in-home care orientation meeting yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, there are a lot of ladies who have started to had been on Social Security are doing some in-home care just for a little bit of supplement. And I used to do payroll in California, and there, to my knowledge, there is a way that you do not have to pay FICA because you know, if I go to work tomorrow and make $10,000 a month, I'm not going to get a dime more if I'm already drawing Social Security. Is that correct? And is there a way that they, that these ladies, if they're drawing Social Security, that they don't have to pay into it anymore?
No, that's not quite correct. When you go back and work, even if you're collecting Social Security, if you're also working and paying into Social Security, they will report those earnings. The employer, or if you're self-employed, those get reported on your tax returns. That income will be reported to the Social Security Administration, and they will update your earnings record. And if that year of earnings is better than another year that's in your calculation, they will actually increase your Social Security benefits, even though you're claiming already. It's not locked in the day that you claim. Now, for most people, if they're just working part-time in retirement, aren't going to make enough to maybe replace another year, because their years of full-time employment are typically going to be larger. But not
right.
Everybody's like that. The biggest thing is, if people maybe qualify for Social Security but don't have 35 years of earnings in their record, so they have a few 0 years in there, certainly if you only earn $10,000 or $12,000 or $15,000 in a year, that's still better than a zero. So they will replace it in your record, and they look at that every year and update it, and they will then start to pay you more if that's true. They won't pay you less, and a lot of people, this is a misconception, that they say, I don't want to work part-time because then my earnings are lower, and that's going to lower my Social Security. That's not
right.
How it works.
Once
okay. Once you reach age 60, all that can happen is your Social Security can increase, but it cannot go down.
Okay.
Unfortunate thing is, yes, they're going to have to pay FICA taxes on their earnings, but they have the potential of actually increasing their benefits if the scenario I described is true.
Well, that's great. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad I called in.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot for the call, Georgette.
Uh-huh.
And have a nice Saturday.
That's a typical question we get a lot.
We do.
People mm-hmm. wonder all the time how working later in life is going to affect them. And we've heard it all. Most of them hate paying into Social Security still because they think, I'm already collecting it, and now I got to pay in and I'm not going to get any benefit. Mm-hmm.
And that is true of most people, I will admit.
Yeah, because you're not usually earning much.
Right. Most of the time, your earnings in retirement are much lower than in your career. So you're paying in, and every year at your earnings record, your best 35 years don't change. It's still the same.
Right. But 35. As you pointed out, if you happen to be someone who did not work for 35 years, so you don't have 35 years of earnings, you have a lot of zeros in your Social Security calculation. Every year of work, even if it's a small amount, will replace a zero with a dollar amount. Right. So marginally, I know it's going to be small. Mm-hmm. You're going to see an increase.
Yep.
But that is the rule, and that's how it works.
Exactly. So I'm thrilled
we had a real
call. Got a real caller with a real retirement-related question. And it's
so
a question
how are
we
you
haven't
scoring
had for
this?
A very long time.
As you decide if we're going to do one or two live shows a month.
That's one call. One rinky-dinky? No, but one ringy-dingy. What's your name on was it on Laugh-In?
I don't know.
A one ringy-dingy. No?
I don't remember that. I remember Laugh-In.
She was the telephone operator person with the board and everything?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll have to look that one up.
But how many calls must we get on live shows, and how many live shows are you going to use as a measure before we make
a
decision?
Well, the last two live shows – the last live show, we got zero. The one with Pete
– we got a couple.
You got a couple?
Yeah, we got two.
Okay.
And then you and I were skunked. That's right.
We were skunked the last time, so average those out. That's one. We're now also at one. I believe the number needs to be higher than one.
One call.
One call per show in a two-hour format.
Not enough.
So I think we need to be getting at least three calls.
Three calls
at least
show.
Three or four.
Now four.
If I get three or four in there, average 3.5, I'd still feel fine about driving over here every other Saturday.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable?
Well, you heard it, listeners. He is speaking.
He is speaking.
I have one rule on this show. I refuse to do it alone. I think you know that. Pete knows that. So,
although you have plenty of words inside to get out to handle it, just so you know.
I probably could.
You could
do it alone.
But who would you talk to?
Exactly.
You could talk. You could pretend you're talking to
Adrian.
And
then I need someone to correct my gymisms.
Well, Adrian could do that. He has a button he could push.
Yeah.
It's all good. So if you like Georgette's call, please try it yourself. It was very painless. Number's 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310.
And will we count emails as part of this? I say yes. If
sure.
we get a live email
sure.
on a live show,
mm-hmm.
that should count.
Yes. Yeah, jim@jimhelps.com. That's and just a more modern – like a modern
exactly.
phone call.
And so far, no emails, just so you know.
Okay. So we're still at one.
Yes. Perfect. So if you want to keep us live and keep Chris coming in live, and we're not making this up. He is totally serious on this. He hit me with it the other
day. Now you're
making
it sound like I'm threatening.
Right? Well, you technically are. You're saying, should we continue to do live shows?
Let's maybe think about
it. I agree. The whole idea of doing a live show is – I mean, I could talk about what we're talking about on a recorded show.
Right. On a Tuesday afternoon in
exactly,
the office.
Exactly, in the office,
of
Tuesday
morning.
Afternoon. And then I could be in the garden right now doing my
mm-hmm.
gardening.
Yep, I could be working on my camper or whatever, mowing my lawn. Yep.
Trying to get my corn planted this week.
You better get at that.
I know.
Corn takes a while.
I know. So the company that was fixing my rototiller actually broke it instead of fixing it. Oh, I was ticked off. Because I live near Longmont, and they're in Fort Collins. I'm not going to mention who they are.
Mm.
And I went up, picked up the tiller, brought it back down, and had lunch. After lunch, I go out. The part they had to replace was fixed. But in order to replace that part, they had to remove another part. And as soon as I looked at it, I said, this is upside down. Not only did they install that part upside down because it wasn't fitting correctly because it's upside down, they had to break it to get it on.
Nice.
So when I took it back to them, the Boston Jim, the old – you've seen him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you've
old Jim.
You've seen the angry Boston Jim. He was in rare form. Let's just say some of the expletives were flying, and I was really ticked off. Mm. And they apologized, and they still don't have it fixed. So they're going to say – I have to go up there today, and they're going to give me –
I was going to say they're going to loan you
loan me a tiller to use.
That's reasonable.
So maybe. It's reasonable, but –
But it's a lot of ways to travel.
But well, not only that, I said, where is the quality control? Whoever fixed this, and the guy who came out to me says, I'm not the one who did this. I said, well, I would hope not if you're their top. As soon as he looked at it, he was like, yeah, that's broke. Duh.
Yeah.
But he did apologize vehemently. He was very nice. I'm going to give them credit for that.
Well, then why'd you get so heated?
You drive 30 minutes up to Fort Collins with a broken tiller.
You work in Fort Collins.
This was on a Saturday.
You couldn't wait till Monday when you were coming up anyway?
I was trying to till the garden to plant my corn.
Oh, you thought they were going to fix it on the spot?
Yeah, no. I had dropped it off the week before to get fixed. Okay. They said they'd have it ready for the weekend.
Okay.
I picked it up Friday on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
So it just – the whole thing – was not good. Mm-hmm. But it was the fact that the guy who did try to fix this, even the guy said, the head mechanic said, he had to have known he broke it.
Yep.
Because it's the only way to get it on upside down is to break it.
Yep.
It doesn't fit that way.
Right.
So he said, I'm going to have a talk with him. And I'm thinking, talk with him? You need to find a new mechanic.
Maybe they're hard to find.
Maybe. I don't know.
There's not a lot of tiller mechanic schools anymore.
Well, they're a small engine repair shop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so I don't know how we got on that tirade.
I'm not sure
why I can't go alone on the radio. Because I get on these tirades, and I'll end up sitting in a whole show talking about my corn and tiller.
But no, you wouldn't, because you wouldn't have anybody to talk to about it.
True. Well, I could talk to our listeners.
You're only saying it because I'm here and I listen. I put up with this. That's why.
Well, our listeners are listening.
Well, not anymore.
Apparently, because we don't get any calls.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're sounding desperate now. So
yeah. Okay.
We have more to talk about.
We do. So we're going to turn this now. Again, these are some of the things that the Ed Slot Group are coming across as they help researchers evaluate retirement plans and things of that nature. It's a new, I don't want to say segment of the Ed Slot program, but it's a new segment that he calls From Around the World of Retirement Planning. And then the next part is he got into QLEX, which I thought was really good because we had done a whole series of shows. And the reason I want to mention both of these, it's exactly what you and I have been talking about with respect to QLEX and DIAs. So let's explain what the heck those are, because a lot of people are saying, what? Okay, a QLEX, QLAC.
It's an acronym.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it stands for Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract.
And which, honestly, is not brand new. How the special part of this is new, but this type of thing or product has been available.
Right. I would say the Q in QLEC is new, but the LAC part has actually been around for a while.
Right. There's been a way where you could buy an annuity that was a deferred annuity, that the payments don't start today. They start at some point in the future.
That's called a DIA, DIA.
And provide you then income later in life in the event that maybe all of your other resources have been spent.
Correct. So originally they were called DIAs, mm-hmm. Deferred Income Annuity. And the mm-hmm. problem is most people have their retirement assets where?
In retirement accounts rather than in the bank or
correct.
Floating around in a regular what's called investment account.
And the problem with a deferred income annuity, you would be forced to take your money out because of required minimum distribution rules at age 70 and a half. And somebody would buy one of these QLACs or DIAs, a deferred income annuity, which is called longevity insurance. You buy longevity insurance if you think you are going to live a long time.
Well, not even if you think about it. If you'd like to protect yourself from the consequences
of living,
longer than your assets.
Right. But if you know you're going to pass away or you feel strongly you're going to pass away in your 70s, you got a condition, doctors say you're not going to live a long time.
Yeah.
No, DIA or a QLEC is not,
probably not
for
a
you.
Good idea. No.
But okay. So we had been talking about this on previous shows, and then Ed wanted to point out two things about QLECs that researchers are starting to find.
Is this recent studies again?
He didn't say recent, but this is everything since the last 6 months that he's come across.
Because the last recent study thing was stuff that we've been talking about for like 10 years.
I realize that. Now, I can't say we've been talking about this with respect to QLACs because QLACs are new, folks. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Department of Treasury created them. This is the second retirement product that the federal government has sanctioned and I have to say gave rise to. Because prior to the Department of Treasury and the IRS changing rules, you could not have – the ability to defer income in an IRA because of required minimum distribution rules. When the government says when you reach the age of 70 and a half, you must begin taking money from your retirement accounts. Because of that rule, the whole notion of a deferred annuity, which again is insurance if you live a long time. So the idea is somebody in their 50s and 60s would buy these and begin taking the money out in their 70s or 80s if they're still alive. And it would be kind of a backstop and protection because if you live a long time, boom, all of a sudden this income starts appearing out of nowhere. Now, there's a lot of rules with QLEX we're not going to get into and DIAs. You can listen to QLEX Part 1, QLEX Part 2, or QLEX Part 3 off of iTunes or off of our radio show website, which is not help with my Social Security. It is the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
And it's that whole long thing, the Retirement and IRA Show.com, although you can get there via a link on the homepage.
Right.
At jimhelps.com.
A lot easier.
So that's a lot easier to.
Right.
I would probably use that as the landing page for everyone. Jimhelps.com. And from there, you can branch off to.
Correct.
Help
from there, there's a link. You can't miss it. Yeah. Chris's and I photo on it. You just click that.
Oh, it does?
Apparently, you haven't been on our website.
Well, no, because.
Yes, your photo is on it.
Well, on the link, though?
Yeah.
It used to be our logo.
Our logo is the link.
I thought you said it was our picture.
The logo is our picture.
Oh, I don't know the new logo then, apparently.
The Retirement and IRA Show logo is you and I smiling.
Oh, that's new.
Well, yeah.
It used to be a blue box.
Well, it is. It's kind of – we have incorporated a picture with it.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check
you
that
You should
out.
Pay more attention to things going on in the office.
I got other websites to check.
So anyways, if you go to the website and type in QLAC – for Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract, just QLAC, all three shows will pop up and you can listen to them.
They're posted.
What Ed was pointing out, and recently I spoke to a reporter on longevity for Financial Planning Magazine, and I mentioned how I use these products. And he said, well, gee, in these low interest rate environments, do you think it's still wise? And I said, absolutely, especially for a deferred annuity such as a QLAC, because the true payment from a QLAC is mortality credits, not interest. And he said, what's a mortality credit? I've never heard of those. And I explained to the reporter what a mortality credit is. And lo and behold, this is one of the things now that is starting to crop up on annuities is the pooling effect and mortality credits. And that's the first thing that Ed pointed out in this new section of his program, mortality credits, and how through the benefit of mortality credits, you can receive far more money than if you were doing this on your own. It's the pooling effect. And as he was teaching this, and again, I can't say this was new to us, but it was new to a lot of people in the room who didn't even understand what a QLAC was. I recently met with an advisor in Fort Collins, and I mentioned I used QLACs, and he looked at me and said, what are those? And then he says, wait a minute, are those new annuities that could be held in an IRA?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
They are new.
They are new, but
they've been talked about for the last couple of years.
Right. A lot of people don't understand them. A lot of advisors don't understand them. A lot of advisors don't want to recommend them because I'll tell you people, as someone who uses them, they don't pay anything. They're an insurance product, so the insurance company pays advisors to recommend them. Advisors, especially investment advisors who charge you 1%, 1.5%, 2% of your assets, you can make a lot more money managing someone's money than putting them in one of these products. But anyways, I want to talk about mortality credits when we come back and the pooling effect, because as I was listening to this, a great analogy came into my mind on how to describe to people essentially what you're doing, the risk you take if you're out there alone trying to fund your retirement and the risk of outliving your assets and what happens if you pool it. And I came up with a really good analogy, and we'll share that when we come back, because I think you're holding the music.
And just as a warning, I haven't heard this analogy.
No, you have not.
So this is new and fresh for everyone,
including
which is
you.
A little concerning.
Uh-oh.
Depending on what this turns out to be, he hasn't run it through the approval process. So oh, we'll see.
You're my approval process?
Well, there has to be some kind
no,
of
No, you're going to hear this
you
analogy.
You know the guy who put the nut on upside down?
Huh?
There was no quality control there. He didn't run it past his, you know, on your rototiller.
Oh,
he
no.
He broke that part.
It was more than a nut. It was a big piece.
Okay, the big piece was on upside down. It's because nobody checked his work. So maybe, you know, just you review what I
will
say.
You will love this analogy.
Really? Is it food related? Those are my favorites.
Technically, I guess, yes.
Oh,
it's
good.
Food related.
Good. Excellent. So we are at the top of the hour. We're going to take another break here on the Retirement and IRA Show. Please, please call us over the break. We'll put you in the queue, get right to you when we come back. The number is 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. When we come back, as always, we're going to take a listen to a new song. Here it's from 40 years ago this week in 1976. I've already mentioned that 1976, we've got this weird mixture of disco and folksy music going on. This one I think is more disco related. This week's number one hit resulted in a Grammy nomination for Diana Ross, who didn't really sing folk music, so... My guess is it's going to be a little more on the ballad or disco side. So you can think about that is. This is a remaining. This is a hangover from last week. So if you listen to last week's show, you'll have an idea where we're headed. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. Jim, do you have any other things to say quickly before we head off? Okay. This is a short break. So, well, actually,
this is the long break.
Yeah. But they're not. It's all relative.
Now, on right? iTunians.
There's
they don't
no
see
break.
Any break.
Exactly.
Because we just come back right away.
Right. So we'll catch you after the break here on the Retirement and IRA Show. Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. I feel like turning down the dimming the lights with this music going. Right? Have a nice brownie in front of the fire.
Brownie?
I don't know. I was thinking some kind of dessert.
You and food. If you're being romantic with a woman, you're going to eat a brownie with her?
I'll feed her a brownie. Women like brownies.
No, chocolate I think brownies? Chris likes brownies.
What I do is I serve them an extra big brownie, and then they can't eat it all, and I offer to finish it off for them.
Oh, that is romantic.
Isn't that romantic?
Wow, Melissa, you are a lucky woman, you.
Anyway, that is the number one song this week in 1976 by Diana Ross. Familiar to those who listen to the show every week, that is remaining at the number one spot. It's entitled Love Hangover. Song was written by Pamela Sawyer and Marilyn McLeod. The background vocals were provided by Motown's in-house trio, the Andantes. The Andantes provided background vocals for many Motown recording artists from 1958 through 1992. My goodness.
92,
that's
wow.
34 years of Andantes.
It's got to be different Andantes.
I don't know. Hard to say. Doesn't specify. Tina has these fun facts in here. But that's a long time. That's a long run. 34 years of background singing? Anyway, number one song 40 years ago this week.
Perfect.
No one called over the break, so this
Go
is your
figure.
Chance to call in right now and get right to the front of the line. 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. This is the Retirement and IRA Show. We're here in studio live, ready to take your calls for any questions. We know this is a gorgeous day in northern Colorado, so that usually means people are out doing what we should be doing. Working
Stuff.
In our garden, putting fertilizer on the lawn, whatever. Pulling weeds, all that fun stuff.
Rototilling.
Now that we list all those things, though, maybe we should do the show every week.
So you don't have to do all this.
Yeah, I can. Because I just texted my kids. I texted my kids and I said, please make sure the main floor of the house, including the kitchen, is clean by the time I get home at noon.
Yeah.
So see, I'm here in the air conditioning talking to you.
Why is it going to take you till noon to get home? You get out of here at 10.
Because
I'm getting tires
on my car.
That's right. You're getting tires on your car.
Before I go home.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
So I should be home about noon.
Gotcha. Did you make a tire appointment? Are you just going to drive in?
No, I have an appointment, so it should be
quicker.
Yeah, the tire's ready to go. Should be quicker. We'll see.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to what we were talking about. Oh, do you want to give out our name and number again? Oh, just the number? Did you give the number?
Yes, 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310 or email jim@jimhelps.com. We'll watch for those to come in, answer you right away. In the meantime, has retirement-related topics
from the Ed Slott program
galore.
Absolutely. Well, five that Ed was going over.
That's galore. We only have an hour left, so.
and one of them, or maybe two of them, we'll wait for Pete and his expertise on taxes and trusts. But anyways, back to what we were talking about with mortality credits. Mm-hmm. So research is starting to discover mortality credits and the benefits of pooling your mortality risk. And Chris has talked about this on past shows. You've said the risk of you alone trying, and I don't want to speak for you, so add input as you see fit, but you were trying to get people to understand the risk of them alone trying to fund their retirement and the risk of outliving their assets is very great because when the assets run out, that's it. They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for one person. And then I started thinking, very similar to most insurance, annuities are pooled. Or should I word that a little differently? Unique as opposed to other types of insurance. Annuities are pooled on the books of insurance companies. All the purchasers of annuities are put into pools. Now, I don't know how big these pools are. Are they 1,000? I'm sure it's more than 1,000. But is it 10,000, 100,000, 200,000 people in this annuity pool? And insurance companies pool the risk of longevity because the actuaries who work for the insurance companies, they can't tell you, Chris, when you are going to die. But they can tell you with an uncanny amount of accuracy how many people in a large pool will die every year.
Yep.
And that's what insurance companies excel at. So you alone, the insurance company or the insurance actuary could say, Chris, you're going to die September 30th, 2059. They can't tell you that because they don't know. But they can say, out of all the people who are buying an annuity today in our pool, X amount will die in the year 2059. Mm-hmm. And that's the mortality and morbidity tables that they use. They keep track of this. They look at this. They monitor this. These are life insurance companies who sell these products. They can tell you how many are going to die in a year. They just can't tell you which ones. And because you pool, as people die in the pool, everybody thinks the insurance company gets your money. They don't. The money is in a pool. The insurance company makes their money because these types of annuities, especially a QLAC or a DIA, qualified longevity annuity contract or deferred income annuity, these are annuities people you buy today, but they don't begin paying you till some point in the future. The insurance companies get to invest that money while they're waiting to begin payouts, and they get to keep the interest that they earn on it. Now, the payments that they pay you will be a mixture of three elements, people. It'll be a mixture of a return of your own money, mm-hmm. interest. They do give some of the interest they earn to the pool, mm-hmm. and mortality credits. What's mortality credits? This is what confuses people. The money of the people who pass away before you gets to be shared to those who live. Why do you think the government who created QLACs called them QLAC? Well, first, it creates a cute little acronym, and we know the government just loves
acronyms.
Oh, my God.
They have the Department of Acronym.
I think they do.
Yeah.
So they just love creating an acronym for everything. Qualified. The word qualified in the name means it can be held in an IRA. Longevity annuity contract. They're telling you right there, it is to protect you from longevity. I often tell people who are considering buying these insurance products, this is the only insurance product you want to buy and file a claim on. Do you know why?
You're still alive.
You're still alive. You're insuring your life. Life insurance should be called death insurance, and annuities should be called life insurance, at least QLEX.
Yes.
So back to the pooling. What happens is as you are in this annuity pool, people who pass away before you, everybody thinks, oh, the insurance company gets your money. No. The other people in the pool get your money. I got news for you. The insurance company already has your money. You gave it to them. You can't get it out of the pool. They are managing it while it's in the pool. They get to keep the interest on that money. They'll credit some interest to the pool. They keep the difference. It's no different than a bank. A bank, when you buy CDs, nobody buys them anymore because they don't pay anything. But when banks used to pay CD interest, you would buy a bank CD. They took that money and did what, Chris? Put it in the safe or lend it out? What did they do?
They lend it out, which is a form of investing for them.
Right.
So that's what they're doing, similar to an insurance company.
Exactly. And the insurance company got to keep the interest above what they're paying you.
And that's what a bank does.
Exactly. Excuse me. The bank gets to keep the interest above what they're paying you on the CD. Mm-hmm. That's how they made money.
Yep.
That's how these work. So what happens is everybody in the pool is supporting everyone. And here is the analogy I want you to think of.
I can't wait.
Fish school and zebras herd for a reason. If you were a zebra, Chris, all by your lonesome, munching on some nice green grass out there on the Serengeti, your chances of survival are a lot slimmer. If there are some lions walking around saying, hey, I want to munch on a zebra today. I'm hungry. And they're walking around on a Serengeti and they see you all by your lonesome. You're pretty much toast. Or to them, dinner. Because you're all by yourself. But if you are in a herd of zebras, and this is why zebras herd and fish school, it doesn't reduce the fact that one zebra is going down. But what it does do, Chris, is increases your odds of being able to live. Because the zebra that dies got to support the life of everyone else because they got to escape. That's why in nature, zebras herd and fish school. If you're that little Captain Nemo fish swimming around all by yourself.
It's Finding Nemo.
It's not Captain Nemo?
Captain Nemo's from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
See, this is why I can't do the show alone. I'd have been on a tear, and no one would have been able to correct me.
Yes.
So Captain Nemo is the person.
The captain of the Nautilus, which is the submarine in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Was Nemo named after the captain? The little fish Nemo?
Probably, because it's Disney-related.
Okay. So Finding Nemo, that little fish, mm-hmm. if he's all by himself and is a hungry barracuda, that little fish is probably toast. But if that little fish is with thousands of other little Captain Nemos or Finding Nemo fishes, then one fish is still going down. But that fish supported the life of everyone else in the school. And that's how you look at these type of income annuities, people. The reason you don't try to insure your retirement on your own from longevity, the reason you don't try to just use your assets alone to support yourself is you're that little fish by himself or zebra on the Serengeti all by their lonesome. If something bad happens to that fish or zebra, the chances of them surviving are slim. But if they school, there's still going to be a zebra going down or a fish going down, but it might not be you. And the one that goes down is supporting the life of all the other zebras and fish.
That's not really a food analogy.
You can eat fish and you could eat a zebra if you were hungry enough and that's all that was there.
Okay, so I'm the lion?
You're the lion or the barracuda.
Okay.
But what I want people to understand mm-hmm. is that these products are to pool your assets. Now, unlike the zebra and the fish, what we're talking about is money here. And when one fish or one zebra is going down, that tiger or that barracuda, they're hungry. But if it's just you all by yourself, you're probably the one going down. But if you can pool in a herd – Someone's going down, but your chance of survival is far greater because someone else may go down, not you. And then their assets are used to support other people still in the pool. And that's how this works. So people may be wondering, where does the insurance company come in? Where's the risk to them? There's far less risk to the insurance company, but they could have wrong actuary tables. People may live longer than they expected. Mm-hmm. So the money in the pool will eventually run out. And that's where the insurance company comes in. Now they have the deep pockets, so no matter how many people are surviving when that money in the pool runs out, the insurance company continues to pay them.
But successful insurance companies, that doesn't happen very often because they're quite good at crunching these statistics in order to figure out how many people are going to be alive at a certain year and all
right.
that kind of stuff. So, but sometimes they're off a little bit. Their estimations for life expectancy 20 years from now, that's what they're predicting, might end up being off a little bit.
Well, last year, the Society of Actuaries mm-hmm. released new actuarial tables for mortality.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like there was a huge difference.
No, but the net result of that, annuity payments dropped a little. Not for existing people,
right.
but for new people entering a new pool. Mm-hmm. Because the insurance companies say, well, wait a minute, this pool may be around a little bit longer than we think.
Yep.
But the reason you need insurance companies to do this, they have the deep pockets that if something happens, and in this case it would be something good, people live longer, they have the ability to insure those remaining pool members until the last one passes away. So again, people, if you are a zebra, you want to be out in the Serengeti by yourself? If you are a little Nemo fish, you want to be all by your lonesome in a school of barracudas? Or do you want to be with a bunch of other fish where you can, like, hit one in the fin and slow them down as you take off? And the barracuda gets...
This analogy is getting really complicated now.
I was out hiking once, and there was a guy there talking about, I forget where he was from, about the guns he carries when he hikes in bear country. And he's talking about all these big handgun-type things. And I said to him, well, he says, what would you carry? He was really into guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just carry a little .32. Now, if anybody knows anything about right. guns, this is yeah. a tiny little gun. And he's just, a .32? What are you going to do with a .32?
That's just going to make the bear mad.
Yeah, he's like, you can't do anything with a .32. I said, I absolutely can. I'm going to shoot you in the knee and keep running. And the right. bear's going to get you.
Did he find that humorous?
No, because he said he'd shoot me with his bigger gun as I was running away.
Oh, wow. This is
violent.
Violent. Yeah, the bear's going to turn around like, those guys are crazy.
They're shooting each other.
I was just going for a snack, and they started shooting each other.
But anyways, do you understand what I'm getting at with pooling and mortality credits?
I do. And hopefully that analogy resonates with people, and it makes a little bit more sense.
You didn't seem to like my analogy as much as I thought you were.
I like it. I like the schooling and the herding
okay.
idea.
You just were hoping for Twinkie
discussion.
Well, you
said it was food related. I said, is it food related? I'm not eating zebra.
A zebra is food to a lion.
To lions, yeah.
And a fish is food uh-huh. to people. Maybe not a little Nemo
it's
fish.
It's nothing like the brownie I proposed at the top of the show, at the top of the hour here, just so you know.
But anyways, that's mm-hmm. the whole idea that I want you. Mm-hmm. So again, in the Ed Slott program, he was talking about people are starting to recognize the importance of mortality credits. And why is this important, people? Interest rates. Interest rates are outrageously low. Bonds yesterday rocketed. They were up huge yesterday. Why? The unemployment numbers were abysmal. It's very clear to people that the U.S. economy is not on sound footing. 8 years after the market crash, $4 trillion of federal quantitative easing, which is the expansion of the Fed balance sheet by $4 trillion. They created $4 trillion out of thin air, pumped it into the economy, has done nothing to get this mortar-bound economy going. We have negative interest rates in Japan. Japan is approaching 250% debt to GDP. We have negative interest rates now in Europe, in Switzerland, and in Sweden. And things are looking bad. Bonds went through the roof yesterday because it's clear the Federal Reserve is not going to be able to raise interest rates in June like everybody thought.
Well, they can. But
they can, but they'll kill the economy.
Is much less, yes.
And the idea that interest rates are going to rise again to the level and quickly to the levels that we knew just 12 years ago when retirees could back then. And retirees in the 80s often did what? They went to the bank, they bought CDs, and they lived off of 8, 9, 10% interest on their money. And that was great. And they never had to dip into principal, and they could leave the money to their kids and grandkids. Those days are over, people. And what Ed is trying to explain in this, and what I'm trying to get people to understand, in these low interest rate environments, it's very hard for you to be that zebra alone on the Serengeti, or that Nemo fish all by his lonesome in some coral reef, and there's a hungry barracuda around the corner. You got to school up in pool, because at least that way you still get mortality credits. You're not getting anything on your assets as far as interest goes. You're getting precious little as far as returns go in the equity markets. Maybe in any given year you have the potential for huge returns. But recently, Justin, if Justin was here, I'd have said Justin. Recently, Chris.
Yeah.
Justin and I, see, I had Justin on my mind. Mm-hmm. We pulled up, we watch every week the chart of the S&P 500. Now, we did not do this Friday, but last Friday we did. And we pull up the chart through Morningstar. Mm-hmm. Morningstar is a company that keeps track of all these things. Mm-hmm. We pull up through our Morningstar software the value and the return of the S&P 500 since January 1st of 2000. So since January 1st of 2000 to last Friday, not this past one, but the Friday before, mm-hmm. one right before Memorial Day weekend, mm-hmm. do you know what the annualized return of the market, according to Morningstar, in that near 17-year period was?
17-year period.
Almost 17-year period.
4.
3.8.
That's pretty close.
Very close. Mm-hmm. 3.8%, people, that's all you got in 17 years. And here's what we
do. Back in the day, the good old days you're talking about, used to get way more than that.
In a bank
CD.
Not
taking risk investing,
exactly.
But rather just sticking it in the bank.
For the last 17 years, to eke out a 3.8% return, you had to take an unbelievable amount of risk. Because of what the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government are doing, globally, it's not just our government and Federal Reserve. We are in trouble, people. I don't want to sound negative, but I am. I have to be a realist here, not an optimist. Saying the glass is half full only gets you so far. You have to recognize sometimes when the glass is half empty. And if you're projecting that you're going to get these 6, 7, 8% returns on your portfolio, if you took out, Chris, if you look at this chart, you got to be with us on Friday afternoon when we do this. If you look at the last 2 years in the market, it's like a bunch of W's, up, down, up, mm-hmm. down, up,
yeah,
down, up, down, but has made nothing.
Right.
If you look from that point down, which brings us to around 2013 to 2011, that two-year period, folks, you remove that two-year period from the return of the market, it's negative since January of 2000. The entire return of the market is just that last oomph of quantitative easing when the Fed was pumping money like crazy into the economy. That's not something you can rely on for your retirement. I don't see interest rates rising anytime too soon, to any degree, rather. I don't think they're going to rise in June now in light of this. That's why bonds rocketed on Friday. Because people realize they can't raise interest rates. Not only that, Europe, Japan, Sweden, Switzerland all have negative interest rates. We can't raise our interest rates when the rest of the world has negative rates. That will kill our dollar. Not kill it. It's going to make it too strong. People are going to rush in to buy our debt, strengthening our dollar. You might think, well, what's wrong with that, Jim? It'll kill exports. And it'll make imports so cheap it'll kill domestic businesses. That's why the world is in a race to the bottom, they call it, Chris. Everyone's trying to devalue their currency. Mm-hmm. It is an ugly situation we're in, people. And what the Ed Slot program was just trying to point out, and what we had already known, again, I like talking about this, Chris, because we're kind of ahead of the curve on this. you can't get much in interest on your own people anymore. Don't be that zebra on the Serengeti or that fish all by their lonesome. Pool your money, and at least you get mortality credits. So you're going to get far more income through one of these products later in life than you can do on your own. Because these products are giving you some of your money, some interest, but the money of everyone else in the pool who died before you. Now, of course, you don't buy these if you don't feel you're going to live a long time. But if you're worried of living a long time, or you're in your 70s and you're still playing bridge with your parents in their 90s, you might want to consider buying one of these because at least you get a little bit of interest, which isn't much, but you can thank the Federal Reserve for that, some of your own money, and the money of everyone else who didn't live as long. So be a zebra, be a fish, and herd up. How's that? A little bit of a tirade, but...
A little bit of tirade. It only took 16 minutes.
But it makes sense to you, seriously. I mean, did I cover it well? Do you get it? You understand?
The herding, the pooling, perfect. Schooling.
Low interest rates.
Low interest rates.
Terrible environment.
Much.
Exactly.
Still benefit from the mortality credits by being in the pool. But you don't get those on your own. That only works when you're in a pool or a school or a herd.
So what is the other benefit of these products? Because there's one more benefit they reviewed, and you've talked about it on the past.
Oh, my gosh. I have?
Think about it. What is the other thing buying? If you think about this as a planner now, I'm talking mm-hmm. to you, not our listeners. Mm-hmm. I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
So you're an advisor. You've just counseled somebody who you don't. We often say what, Chris? Retirement planning would be easy if we knew when the money was going to run out or when
right.
you were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy one of these products, people, remember, let's just say you are – the best time to buy these is in your 50s and 60s because the longer you defer the income, you get so much more. So let's just say you're in your 50s and 60s, Chris. Someone is working with you or counseling with you, and they are 62 and they buy this, and it's going to turn on at 82 mm-hmm. with enough money, according to their projections, say, to probably cover them for the rest of their life or mm-hmm. combined with their pension and Social Security. What did you just do?
Well, we took an unknown date that your assets must last – and now created a date on a calendar we know at age 82, this deferred income is going to kick in and take care of your financial needs at that point. So your other resources only have to last you from today until that date. We've now created certainty in our ability to plan. And imagine if instead of just saying, I don't know how long this needs to last, instead saying, I know it needs to last 20 years, it makes those decisions, how much you can take out, how you should be allocating, all those kinds of things, makes them so much easier.
Exactly. Let me read this paragraph from the Ed Slott program we just went to.
Okay.
Here's what they wrote with this. And again, this is not news to us, but to a lot of people it is. Another big benefit of using QLACs and other longevity annuities within a retirement plan is that they help address one of the more challenging aspects of retirement planning, its indefinite duration. Predicting an individual client's life expectancy is extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible, for an advisor. This means that advisors generally need to plan to make clients' portfolios last towards the outer limits of any life expectancy to reduce the likelihood of that client outliving their savings. But with a QLIC, that unknown life expectancy is now transitioned to a known point. That is exactly what you have been saying for a while.
Perfect.
So I just want to point out.
It's like they listen to the show.
It's like he does. I want to point out to people that's another reason why I really like these products. I'm so happy the government came out with them because it can help you take an unknown. How long am I going to live? I don't care how long you live. I hope a very long time. But why are you worried about how long you're going to live? You're worried about when your money's going to run out. Well, if you knew when this period began, when all this money was going to be paid to you, It's going to make the period between now and then so much easier to tell you what to do. Here's how much you can spend. Here's how you should allocate it. Because at 82, boom, these products kick in and you should be covered for the rest of your life. And even if you get all your money back, that's what's great with these products, people. They keep paying you until the day you die.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been, just for clarity, we've been talking about these a lot over the past few weeks, but mostly because from an educational standpoint, because they're new and people don't understand them, aren't sure how they work, what the advantages are, that sort of thing. As animated as Jim has been today, we're not saying that every single person in the world needs a QLAC.
No, not even close.
Not even close. It's
I've
just
said repeatedly,
tool.
If you don't have longevity,
right.
don't
it's
buy
it. It's another
them.
Tool. Or if you have
Millions.
Plenty of assets,
yes.
or you have tons of pension income that's going to last for your life. There's all kinds of reasons why you wouldn't need one of these. But there's a whole lot of people that have really – their situation has been begging for this kind of thing, and it hasn't been available until the past year. Here, this just started, what was last fall that they were officially available?
2015.
And just, well, it took a while for the insurance companies to actually
yes.
come out
yes.
with them. So we're
yes.
about a year of actually having products that work like this. So we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll head into our fourth segment here after this short break. When we come back from this break on the Retirement and IRA Show, we were going to hear the number one song from this week in 1981, which is 35 years ago. Those of you doing the math. The hint is, this number one hit for this week was voted the number three hit of the 80s, of the whole decade, behind Olivia Newton-John's Physical and Diana Ross, Lionel Richie's duet, Endless Love. This was number three of the top songs of the entire decade. I don't know why. No, since I know
you
what it
hate
is.
Hate this song.
I don't like
this
song.
I like it.
Okay, I get it. So if you want to call in during the break, our number is 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310, and we'll get to you as soon as we come out of the break. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show here on this fine Saturday morning. That was the number one song, shockingly, 35 years ago in 1981 this week. That is, of course, the raspy-voiced Kim Carnes singing Betty Davis Eyes.
And Chris loves the song.
I'm so sick of that song. I was sick of it when it was out new. I remember it in 1981, and I was not a fan.
I like
so
it.
So now it's back haunting me.
I may download
week
it,
after
put
week.
It on my podcast, iTunes.
Okay, go
not
for
my,
it.
What do you call that? The thing where I have all my music? My playlist.
Well, you can listen to it as much as you want. That doesn't bother me. Just don't play it in the office. Right? So, yeah, that's been strong at number one this week. It was number one, I think, a few weeks ago, and now it's back again. I don't know that for sure. Has this been? I don't know. It's been
Tina
several
Tina swears
weeks.
To me. She listens to the show, so she's listening now. So say nice things about her.
Well, I'm not faulting
she
Tina
swears,
for this song.
Well, she's just telling you they come and go.
I
don't
agree.
Necessarily stay number one and then just disappear. They can come back. And to stop talking
like
bad
a,
about
like
her.
Like a bad penny. I'm not talking bad about Tina. I'm talking
like
bad about
penny.
Betty Davis Eyes.
Like a bad dream, not a bad penny.
It turns up like a bad penny. That's the phrase.
No, it turns up like a bad dream.
No.
Adrian? He's clueless.
Google it, Adrian.
A bad penny?
Keeps turning up like a bad penny.
I have never heard turns yeah. up like a bad penny.
Google it, Adrian. You got to get the confirmation here. I don't
Where's
have time
the point to... of it? What's so wrong with a bad penny?
They keep turning up.
Who uses pennies?
This is an ancient phrase, okay? Back when pennies had value.
But how is it yeah. bad? What's so wrong with a penny?
Adrian's going to read it to us. He'll type it to us, and I'll read it. So he's going to type it in the little box or copy and paste the explanation, and I'll read it here in a moment.
It's not like a bad dream?
The phrase, like a bad dream, but not turning up like a bad dream, is not the turning up goes with bad penny, not bad dream. That's the point. You can have a bad dream.
I beg to differ.
Or yesterday was like a bad dream.
Although I will have to say, since this has kind of come up,
mm-hmm.
I think you might might be slightly correct on one of my gymisms.
Well, this one I'm slightly correct on. A bad penny always turns up is the phrase. So that's when people say, I still don't understand a bad penny.
How can a penny be bad? A penny is a penny. There's no good pennies. There's no bad pennies. A penny is a penny.
I don't know.
You got sharp edges and you're cutting yourself on it? I didn't create it.
I'm just telling you the historical.
That's a stupid thing. It's like a bad dream
phrase.
When people don't want to go to sleep because they know they're going to have
a bad dream. This whole show has turned into a bad dream now. What's your gymism that you're finally coming around to my.
I'm just saying, at least in the pot of Massachusetts that I was in, after I went home a couple weeks ago, and after the Red Sox game, we went to watch the Red Sox play, had great seats right along the first base line.
Yeah.
After the Red Sox game, we went to Legal Seafood in Boston.
Yeah, great place.
Great place. I went in there. I had my chowder and scallops, chatting with my buddies.
Yeah.
And then we're getting up. We're leaving. And as we're leaving, I'm walking out. And someone at a table said, and I hate to admit this, they were talking very loud. So I heard them. And he said, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. And I felt like turning around and telling him, it's not toot, it's tout. You're in Massachusetts.
No, that's only you. It's not even a statewide thing.
So I don't know. He could have been a
foreigner.
What do you, a foreigner, but he could have been a, what do you call it there? Someone who visits a vacationer. No, what do you call it? You go up to Estes Park, all those people running around. Tourist. He could have been a tourist in Boston from another state.
He had a Boston accent, didn't he?
No, I couldn't make out his accent.
Whatever. It's toot your own horn. You can't tout a horn. Tout is not an action you do to a horn. Toot, on the other hand.
I'm just saying.
Is horn related.
And this bad penny thing I've never heard keeps turning up like a bad penny.
Yeah, when you go home, you can research
it. I don't think I've ever
had
a bad penny.
There's a whole Wikipedia page on it. Okay, anyway. That was long and excruciating. What were we going to talk about? Oh.
What's new on helpofmysocialsecurity.com.
Yeah, this week. You know, so why do we do this with these songs? We do this because, believe it or not, all of these dates are related to Social Security in some obscure way. I mentioned that 1935 is the year that Social Security started. 1976 happens to be 40 years ago this week. So in the original Social Security calculation, the roundabout method, all the steps they took in order to get to the amount they're going to pay you or your benefit, it began with something they referred to as 40 elapsed years, what they saw as a typical length of time for a career. Then the next step is 35 computation years, and that brings us to 1981, 35 years ago. So each one of these has a weird connection to Social Security, because right now we're going to talk about what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, not that I don't want to make it sound dull. I don't want to make it sound dull. We recycled the topic.
You did.
We did, because we've had a lot of confusion actually related to the call that we had earlier today. When you're retired and collecting Social Security benefits, how do earnings actually affect you? One of the ways they affect you prior to your full retirement age is it can reduce the benefits that you're paid if you earn too much. That's called the earnings test. So we go through again the earnings test. We did talk about it on the blog post, admittedly, back in 2014, I believe, or very early on in helpwithmysocialsecurity.com history. But I felt it was time to refresh everyone on
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, because
redo it, so.
We have new readers and listeners, because it's an audio and written blog, who may not have read that blog and gone back through the archives.
So this week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, we have an explanation of how the earnings test works.
Excellent.
What's new, what's your cat?
A little slow on the wrap-up there.
No, it's fine.
Okay. How much time?
Don't be
do we
critical, because he can add weird sound effects to your microphone and stuff. So I wouldn't. You're talking about me making fun of Tina, which I don't do.
So he can make me sound intelligent?
No. No. They haven't invented quite that much of advanced technology yet. They can put mice on the moon, but making Jim automatically sound.
You know what I noticed when I went to Atlanta for the Ed Slott thing, speaking of the way people talk? All the news shows, I'm a news junkie, so I watch all the local news station. None of them have Southern accents. They sound like they could be from anywhere.
Why do you think that is?
I think the media is against people who have accents.
Oh, so it's a conspiracy.
It is. It's against Southerners and Northerners from Boston who may say things a little off.
Are they in the news in Boston when you go? It doesn't have – they don't have Boston accents?
No, mostly the sports guys. They'll talk.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
They'll still have – that's
target marketing. Though. That's what that is. Because I've seen those sports crazies in Boston. They wear their hockey jerseys on 364 days a year.
Yeah. The sports guys back home will have the deep Boston accent talking about whether it's the Patriots or the Red Sox or the Bruins. Mm-hmm. But the regular newscasters, no. Hmm. No.
Maybe they.
But I was surprised. I figured down south they're all going to have the southern drawl. None of them did.
That's probably because it's a big market. If he went to a small town, I bet they would.
All right.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Maybe someone can call in at 970-353-1310. Someone who's from the Southeast and let us know. Do your local
it's
news
not
guess.
Work.
No, okay.
Face it, Pete. We're going to have to.
No, my name's Chris.
Huh?
My name's Chris.
Oh, face it, Chris.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pete. Didn't mean to embarrass Pete or offend him. I think going to once a month might be winning out because you said we have to average more than one.
Well, yeah, 3.5 is more than one. We're averaging one at this point, one call per show.
Now, is this a reflection of the quality of our show or the listenership of KFKA?
Well, people could be streaming it right now, too, and they're not calling.
They could.
Or just know that we're on the air from 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings and they just could call without even listening to the show. Because they can hear in the phone earpiece when we talk to them. They don't even have to have their radio on. And it's actually encouraged to turn off your radio because of the delay.
Correct.
So someone could just randomly call. Now, they can't hear me pleading for calls right now, so they would just
have to do it proactively. Well, maybe we'll try your thought for July and August at least, for the nice summer months, once a month. So mm-hmm. I could still be working on my garden right now.
Yeah, we could do it. Yeah, just once a month, do the pie drawing and everything that day. Today, we have one entrant into the pie
She'd
drawing.
She'd be winning the pie.
Yeah, we're going to have one more live show in June? Or is this going to be it?
Should we make it now? I don't know. We didn't talk about that pie. You're the one who hit me with this the other day. Maybe we'll make it July and August, so we'll do one more
live. So we'll
live
do one more in June. So here's your chance, people. if you're hesitant to call today, you've got one more chance this month to call in and get entered into the pie drawing. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, everyone who calls or emails during one of our live shows gets entered into a drawing that we do once a month to receive a fabulous pie of your choosing from Fat Albert's, which is a great restaurant here in Greeley, Colorado. It's been around for quite some time. They serve lunch and dinner. I'm not sure. I don't believe they do breakfast. But in addition to regular meal food, homemade pies. Well, Fat Albert made pies. Sue make pies. Sue and her employees.
Probably, they make wonderful
probably
pies.
Not at their homes.
Anyone from Greeley knows Fat Albert. So.
For sure.
Anybody want to win a Fat Albert pie when we're live again, call the show. But I guess at least for July and August, as we try this once live per month experiment, then we may get more callers on that day merely because the odds of winning are so much greater.
Could be.
Especially it just takes one person calling and they'll pretty much get a pie the way we're going.
The way we're going.
Would you like a free pie? Call the show.
We should put that on all our advertising now. Forget about calling us for retirement planning.
Call to win a pie.
Just put our number on there. Okay.
All
right. We do have time for one last topic. Or if someone calls in, we'll handle that. We'll jump right to that person. But
we'll skip. We'll go straight to go.
Correct. So what's our final topic of the day?
Rethink withdrawal strategies, Ed was saying.
Is this along the tax things we've been talking about?
According to a recent study, once again, and again.
You know what? I am pretty sure recent study means stuff I heard on the Retirement and IRA show over the past couple of years. That's what they mean by a recent study.
Because you're going to know exactly where I'm going on this. We've talked about it before. We call it tax bracket optimization. Mm-hmm. And I have this conversation with people constantly. Again, and I think and I'm not trying to tout or toot, whatever the heck it is, our own horn here.
It's toot, clearly.
Whatever. I'm not trying to do that. But when you are retirement planners, and that's all we do, we kind of see these things. And tax planning is a crucial, crucial aspect of retirement planning. That's one reason in our own office we're bringing tax planning in-house, because we're finding that we may be doing the financial and retirement planning for people, but their tax preparers are not incorporating much of what we're suggesting. Because a tax preparer, tax preparers are, they just take what's happened and document it, essentially. That's all a preparer is doing. Here's what you did last year. Here's what we got to do your taxes. Here's what you owe, or here's what you're going to get back.
In defense of some tax people, there are people who do tax forecasting and tax planning, but very few. When you just go to, quote, have your taxes done.
It's all they're going to do.
It's all they're going to do, this year's taxes, and let you know.
And we, on the other hand, constantly look at what will the ramifications and repercussions of required minimum distributions do to the taxation of your Social Security benefits and the establishment of your Medicare premiums. So many people don't understand Medicare premiums are now priced based on how much income you make. And those income levels are locked. They do not increase for inflation. It's the same game they played in 1983 when they started taxing Social Security. They made the limits in 1983 so high, very few people paid taxes on their Social Security.
Or complained that they were going to do it, because so few people were going to be affected at that time.
But they don't increase that for inflation. So today, over half of retirees pay taxes on Social Security. These are people who are in their 60s and 70s today, who would have been in their 40s and 50s back then and didn't care because, oh my God, that's so much money, that's not going to affect me. Mm-hmm. Well, they're playing the same game with your Medicare premiums, people. There are only a small handful of people who pay more in Medicare premiums right now. But if you are in your 40s and 50s and you're listening to me, you're going to pay more in Medicare premiums. Because by time you retire and start with Medicare, especially if you're in your 40s, you will most likely have income that's at the lower limits for higher Medicare premiums. Yep. So we often will show this to people, and we have to do planning. And it means rethinking conventional wisdom. So Ed begins. Conventional wisdom, he writes, says that during retirement, clients should first pull from their taxable accounts, and then from their tax-deferred accounts, which in this case are IRAs, and then finally from their tax-free and Roth accounts. However, he goes on, according to recent studies, this approach is flawed. You got that surprise, surprise, Adrian? Adrian left. There's no one monitoring this show.
We're on autopilot.
We have no engineer behind me.
It's fine. It still works. People can still hear us.
We hope. Okay. So according to recent studies, this approach is flawed. And instead of fully funding retirement income needs with with pre-tax dollars before utilizing tax-deferred dollars, it's the wrong approach. What he's saying, recent studies have found having accounts with various tax treatment can allow retirees to exercise greater control over their future tax liabilities, including the including the taxation of their Social Security and their Medicare premiums. And they call it, or say, you should fill your tax bracket bucket with pre-tax dollars and then switch to after-tax and Roth money for the rest. We talk about that constantly.
That's tax bracket optimization.
Exactly.
That's our name for that.
What they're getting at, people, is Chris and I have opined on this in the past. What we try to get people to understand, we can pretty much predict with a fair degree of accuracy what your tax brackets are going to be in retirement. And if you are in the, say, 15 or 25% bracket, it's to encourage people earlier in retirement, before required minimum distributions begin, to perhaps take from their IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, TSPs, all these tax-qualified accounts that are going to be nailed with required minimum distributions, to take enough money from them earlier in retirement to fully fill that 15% or 25% bracket. Get it out now at the same tax rate you're going to pay in the future and allow your Roth to continue to grow and your taxable accounts where we can do tax loss harvesting. Allow those to continue to grow and only take from those accounts when you fully fill your bucket. This will allow you to control the taxation of your Social Security. Remember, with Social Security listeners, up to 85% might be taxable, but it could be zero. And if you do it right, if you take money from a Roth IRA, you will not subject your Social Security to taxes. If you take money from a taxable account, such as an investment account, and can offset any type of capital gain with a capital loss, you will not pay Social Security taxes. But if you take money from an IRA, that will subject your Social Security to taxes. It'll also push you to a higher Medicare premium. So they're starting to rethink withdrawal strategies that you should defer until age 70 and then take money from an IRA. And it's starting to dawn on these brilliant brains. Maybe you want to take the money out a little sooner in an effort to reduce these other tax burdens.
It's all about putting some thought to it. And these are unlike investment returns, which we honestly, nobody does, know what they're going to be. So that's a bit out of your control. You can hope for certain things and plan and maybe expect certain things there, but you really don't know. Here's something that you can do that can have a real positive impact on the dollars available to you to spend in retirement, and it isn't subject to Wall Street going up, down, sideways. It's just a matter of you planning for tax effects. So that brings us to the end of this show on the Retirement and IRA Show. Next week, we will not be live, but you probably won't notice the show being much different than it was today. But thanks for joining us this week on the Retirement and IRA Show. We will be pre-recorded next week. If you have a question, please email it to us at jim@jimhelps.com, or you can visit our website, which is just jimhelps.com. Thanks a lot, Jim. Have a nice Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.
See you next week.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Missed any of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decision based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.